Well, welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner. And today we're talking holiday havoc. You can imagine that scene at the holidays, right out of a rom-com or one of those classic movies where you've got all of the relatives showing up for the holidays and everything that can go wrong does go wrong in your house. So I want to tackle how to manage some of those DIY things that happen, because no one's holiday should be ruined by overflowing toilets or electrical problems or a house fire. So we're going to tackle those basic things that you can be doing, some of them ahead of time and some in the moment and some the aftermath of the disasters that your family might bring upon you this holiday. Because as much as we all love the gathering of our people, having extra people around can cause a new set of issues. So welcome back. I am Beth Allen, your host. I am a DIY expert, a contractor, and an educator. And my whole focus is really to just bring you practical and doable DIY solutions for everyday homeownership. Because after all, our home is the biggest asset that we both have. So let's dive into, we're going to call them kitchen calamities. The kitchen is so much the center of our world, especially when we're having a gathering. It's where everybody lingers in the kitchen, around the food, around the beverages, around the kitchen island. So when you have all of these people and you're cooking, things go wrong. So what happens when you burn things, when your whole house reeks of burnt whatever, whether it's a turkey, whether it's a ham, whether it's a baked good? That lingering odor can be rough. So there are some quick fixes for that. You can boil some vanilla and cinnamon on the stove. That will actually help cut down on some of those odors, aside from spraying chemicals in the air and things like that. Nobody wants to spread the joy of a stomach bug or a, let's see, food poisoned offering at the table. So it is really important. And people underestimate the importance of good hand washing. You know, this is the registered nurse in me talking. When you are doing food prep, if you have the raw meats, you know, you have to make sure that you are using the proper cutting board, that you are washing your hands thoroughly and often, that you are wiping surfaces down with a disinfectant that is going to kill off some of that raw germs. Because you really, this is the time of year, it's very easy, we're busy, we're trying to cook for a lot of people. So good hand washing, good counter cleaning. We don't want to be sharing germs at the holidays. And we've all had that moment where we've burnt something. And there could be times that things are overflowing from the pans and the casseroles into the bottom of the oven, and you know, things are starting to smell and stick and burn. If you are cooking something that might drip over, put a cookie sheet under it. Simple. And clean the oven before the holiday dinner. Now, I'm not saying that you should do the self-cleaning aspect of the oven. You should actually pause on the self-cleaning part, because if you run that self-cleaning oven, there's always a small chance that you could do something to alter the thermostat with that high heat. And then you have the problem of not having a working oven for the holiday. But at minimum, take the shelves out and really wipe that bottom of the stove, or I'm sorry, of the oven out. So anything that has been dripped already doesn't cook more and create more odor and mess. So wipe out that oven. The garbage disposer. I cannot tell you how many stories I have heard of people who have had garbage disposer issues over the holiday. Plumbers will tell you the number one culprit in causing garbage disposer jams at the holidays is potato peels. I get it. You have, you know, that 5 or 10 pound bag of potatoes and you're trying to peel for the mashed potatoes you're going to make. Do not put those peels into your drain. I know you're all like, oh, I have a garbage disposer. If you want to hear all the details about garbage disposers, I have a whole other episode on just that. But it's really important that those potato peels hit the trash can, your compost bin, All right. Don't put them in the disposer. One potato, two potato, maybe, but not 5 and 10 pounds potatoes. Okay. Now, the other things that should not go in when you're doing that holiday meal prep, no meat trimmings. I know it's very tempting. We cut off, you know, the fat or the cartilage type stuff off of chicken or meat, beef, and we're tempted to just kind of throw it in the sink. Don't. Put it in the trash. All of that stringy, stretchy stuff can get wrapped around the blades, and then you've got a jam in the disposer. Eggshells are another problematic thing in your garbage disposer. Again, if it's one or two eggs, it's fine. But if you're doing, you know, a dozen eggs because you've got a big crew on Christmas morning, those eggshells are sticky and they're slimy, and they can get caught up in the disposer and create quite a jam, okay? And I tell you from experience, because my kids did this one time. We were having, I think it was a Memorial Day party, and the morning of, the garbage disposer got jammed with eggshells because they were baking stuff, and I had to take the trap apart and all of that just an hour before company was coming. So don't use the disposer for those eggshells. Coffee grounds, nope. Don't put them in either. And again, you should, as a good home ownership, have a hex key or a official disposer wrench for your garbage disposer. Mine is taped to the wall inside the sink cabinet, so I always know where it is. And have that disposer wrench or Allen hex key handy so that if you do get a jam, you can dislodge it from underneath the disposer itself. There is that little opening underneath, and you can use that to back up the blades to release whatever is clogged. Now, another really important thing about that disposer, and people make this mistake, and it can be a hazardous one, is do not use drain cleaner in the garbage disposer. You don't want the lye, the caustic chemicals to, one, damage any of the internal parts of your disposer, and more importantly, you don't want it to splash back because water splashes from the disposer. So no chemicals. You can use baking soda and vinegar, but no drain cleaners in that disposer. Now, we've all seen those videos of the fried turkeys. We're going to fry our turkey. And you see people who've tried to do this inside with propane tanks set up. You see people doing it outside. They are not in a full apron. They don't have gloves. Or if you decide you are going to fry your Christmas turkey, please make sure you're following all the guidelines, because to me, that is just a disaster waiting to happen. So be careful with that. Now, the other thing about the kitchen is setting off the smoke alarms. We've all done it. You know, we're cooking something and the pan heats up too fast, and before you know it, the smoke alarms are going off in the house. Do not dismantle your smoke alarm because of a cooking incident. That is a bad idea. You want to make sure that you have a working smoke detector. It should be in the hallway outside the kitchen and not in the kitchen, so we're not likely to set it off so quickly. But make sure that you have a working smoke detector as we head into this winter season, and a carbon monoxide detector if you have gas appliances or heat in your home. Now, I always tell people, have a fire blanket. A fire blanket is way easier to use than a fire extinguisher, because a lot of people will fumble with an extinguisher. There are extinguishers that are rated for different types of fires, whether they are chemical, electrical, or grease, all of these things. Make sure that you have a fire blanket. They are not very expensive. We're talking maybe $15 or less. And a fire blanket is one of those things that you store in the pouch under the kitchen sink or in the pantry cabinet right there. And you pop it open and you lay it over the fire. You can use it on an appliance. The toaster goes off, or the air fryer. You can use it on the stovetop. You can use it on the grill. So much easier to grab a fire blanket than it is to deal with an extinguisher, because the extinguisher leaves a disaster behind, whereas the fire blanket just puts it out. So definitely consider one of those. And on my holiday wish list, I actually have my preferred fire blanket listed. I think you can get a 4-pack, and it's great. You wrap them up as a gift and say, I care about you. I want you to be safe. So make sure you have one at your house as well. Now, moving out of the kitchen to the bathroom, when we've got a lot of guests visiting for the holidays, we can definitely have that Uncle Buck moment. And if you know what I'm talking about, is you've got that relative from out of town, and he, every darn time he comes to visit, he clogs up your toilet. That is awkward for you. It is awkward for him. Now, I am not a fan of ever leaving the plunger in the bathroom sitting in the corner. Personally, I think it's kind of gross. But there are those caveats. And if you have that Uncle Buck that always clogs the potty, you want to be sure that you leave the plunger accessible in that bathroom and let him deal with it himself so that he doesn't have to ask for it and you don't have to do that for him. So make sure that plunger is accessible. I do like keeping it in a plastic bag and under the kit or under the bathroom sink, so it's kind of out of sight but nearby, maybe in the linen closet. You've got a place that's always awesome. But if you do have that person that tends to leave a bomb in the bathroom, get some poo-pourri. I don't know whether you've ever heard of this stuff. It is a fragrance essential oil that you spray over the water of the toilet before you go. And I'm telling you, this stuff works beautifully. And it's great to have available for guests, especially when you have a house full of people, because nobody wants to be that person who's the party pooper, who leaves the mess in the bathroom. So you can spray that on, leave it just on the vanity counter, just leave the poo-pourri. They come in a bunch of different scents. It really does work. So have that available for your people. If you do have that clock and you have to plunge, what I want you to do is consider using some Dawn dish soap before you start plunging. Plunging can be messy, and sometimes the Dawn really helps break things up. So what you would do is take a cup of Dawn dish soap. I've never tried any other brands. I only use Dawn. I'm a loyalist. But pour that into the sink, or I'm sorry, into that toilet bowl, and let it sit for a good 30, 40, if you have time, let it sit for an hour. And then come along and plunge. Now, you don't want to plunge right away after pouring the Dawn in. Otherwise, you're just going to have a toilet full of skanky, dirty bubbles. So you want to let it sit and then go in and plunge. It's a great way to help break that up and move things along. And it's non-toxic. It's easy to do. So definitely do that. And then the other thing about the toilet plunging, it can be gross and sloppy and messy, and you don't want it to splatter. So what I do is I take a trash bag. And I put a hole in the side of a trash bag, and I put the handle of the toilet plunger into the bag, and then wrap the bag around the bowl and put the plunger into the bowl opening. So you can plunge, and the whole scene is wrapped in a trash bag. And when you're done plunging, you just take the toilet plunger and the bag away, and you've got contained all of the splatters. It works beautifully. And you can get back to the party and entertaining without a big hoo-ha and a big messy scene that you have to clean up. Now, another thing that people have problems with is that people try to flush things they're not supposed to flush. We should not be flushing wipes. You know, they talk about flushable wipes. Every plumber out there will tell you that none of them are truly flushable. They will eventually cause clogs and they get stuck in the turns of the drains. If you have septic, that's a major problem if you have a septic tank. So please avoid using wipes. A lot of people, if you have an older home, you can't handle any feminine products going in the toilet as well. So make sure you put out a cute little sign. Get a little chalkboard sign or print it up and say, you know, hello guests, happy holidays. You know, spare us all some grief and mess. Please don't put the following in. Or please be sure to just put toilet paper in. Whatever it takes to create that communication with your guests that you have a toilet that tends to back up so you can avoid a mess. And then if you've got slow the shower drain, you've got everybody taking showers. You see, I've got a lot of long hair. So shower drains can get easily backed up from hair when you've got a whole bunch of people in the house. So I am a huge fan of the Zip It stick. It is made by Brass Craft. It's actually made in the U.S., which is great. And it is a very simple tool. It's like $5 or less. It's 18 inches long. It has little plastic barbs on it. And you can pass it down into either sinks, tubs, or shower drains. And it's going to pull up a disgusting blob, okay? It's going to pull up all that nasty hair. But better to pull it up and out than to have it sitting there causing a backup so you're standing in your own dirty shower water, or to create a bigger clog down the road. So get a Zip It stick, have it on hand, sweep those drains, and keep everything moving easily and smoothly. Avoid that backup. I love that. The other thing you can do for slow-moving drains is a cocktail. And no vodka necessary, but it is a cocktail of baking soda and vinegar. So what you're going to do is put your baking soda into your drain. I like to use a piece of paper as a funnel and kind of dump that into the drain. And then I will pour vinegar. And once you've poured, you know, maybe a half a cup of each, you're going to close up that drain, whether you close a stopper, or sometimes I will take the bottle of vinegar and set it right over the drain, and it usually kind of covers that drain opening. Let it sit for 10 or 15 minutes, and then you're going to take hot water. Not, you can boil water, but let it cool a little bit before you pour it. You don't want the boiling water to crack your porcelain, and I know someone this happened to. So let it cool a little bit, but dump that really, really hot water down into the drain, and it disinfects, deodorizes, it helps break up and move things along. Non-toxic, cheap, you can do this anytime. So why introduce the chemicals? But these are little things that when this is happening in your house, I don't want you to panic, because you've got people coming and you got kids running around and gifts and toys and pets and all this. You can handle these things. These are easy to solve when you know these little hacks. Then we do have power problems that happen at the holidays because we have extra people. We have extra draw. We've got cold temps and people are plugging in extra devices. We've got Christmas lights and trees and animatronic things out in the yard and all that. So what do you do when you've got that tripped circuit? That can be a little overwhelming because you're in the middle of say, cooking up pancakes for everybody, and the griddle stops. And I say that because that happened to us one year. So it's important for you to know and understand some of the circuitry in your house, especially in that kitchen area, because you could have, you know, several outlets that are on one circuit, and you're trying to put a crock pot, an air fryer, a griddle, you know, a hot plate, all of these things. You're trying to run these heat-generating, power-drawing devices on some of the same circuit, and you're very likely going to have some tripping going on. So understanding what's on what circuit will allow you to say, I'm going to plug this in over there on that counter. I'm going to plug this in on the island because I know these are on separate circuits, so I'm not going to overload the one with too many devices. And the other thing is you have to know where those GFIs are. The GFIs are those ground fault interrupter circuits. And with the GFI, they can control several other outlets within your kitchen. So if the GI trips because you've put too much of a power draw, then all of a sudden you have three other outlets in the kitchen that are not working. Now, it could not just be the kitchen. It could be an outlet upstairs or in hallway or whatever. But understanding how the circuits are laid out and which things are connected will make the problem solving that much faster. And knowing where all those GFIs are, the last thing I want you to do over the holidays is pay an electrician $100 to come out to your house for a service call, which he deserves to be paid for if he shows up, to reset a GFI. So know where all of your GFIs are, know how to test and reset, and know which circuit breaker in the panel box operates each of those so that you can at least do those simple troubleshooting things of resetting GFIs and circuits before you would call the pro. All right? You don't have that extra $100, $150 to pay for those types of services, all right? I'd rather see you spending that money on paying off your Christmas debt or just treating your family to an evening out. So make sure you're doing that. We don't want you to be Chevy Chase, loading up the front lawn with so many lights and blow up things that you are tripping circuits. So it's important that you understand what are the outside circuits too. How much of a load are you putting on there? Are you using the right extension cords? You want to be sure that you're using 3-prong plugs. And anything you use outside for the holidays or even inside, you want to make sure that it has UL listed on it. So that means it has been tested by American standards to be safe within the home setting or really any residential inside or out. Make sure if it's being used outside, it says it is outdoor safe. And make sure that you have inspected all of those wires and extension cords for any frays or nicks and exposed ends. Because what do? We lay them in the grass and then it rains and it snows and now you're creating shock hazards. So don't be Chevy Chase come the holiday. It's important that you are careful with what you're plugging in, where, and how much. Now, do you have a backup plan for when the power does go out? Now, I'm talking, you know, not just those tripped circuits, but you have a power outage. A storm rolls in. You've got winds, all of these things happening right when you are entertaining, you know, a dozen or more people and the power goes out. Now, I understand not everybody has a whole house generator. A Generac system is a fantastic investment, but, you know, that's a $10,000 to $15,000 upgrade to your home. But when the power goes out and you need the minimum, I absolutely love having some LED powered light bulbs around. There are light bulbs that you can buy that sit in a lamp and they have an LED battery built into them. So while they are plugged into the lamp, you are feeding energy to the bulb. And if the power goes out, you can take the bulb out of the lamp and there's a small adapter with a hook. And then you put the bulb into the adapter and now you have a hanging light bulb that you can take anywhere in the house and it will last for hours. And it's a really great tool for when that power goes out because you don't want to be wearing down your cell phone flashlight battery and you don't want to be running candles all the time. These light bulbs are really cool and they're on my Amazon list and super easy. When the lights go out, you go grab two or three of those bulbs, you hang them up, and everybody can just kind of walk around. You could hook it on your shirt, you could hook it on your belt, you know, loop, and then you have a light bulb and some light you are carrying around. Super easy. The other thing that I love is having a portable power pack. There are a number of them out there on the market. There are some that are solar paneled, solar powered with a panel, which are great. And then there are some that you plug in and you leave charged until you need them. And they hold charges for weeks and months. So Jackery makes a nice larger scale portable generator that you can get with or without the solar option. And then my favorite, and I literally used this a week ago to jumpstart my own car, is the Halo Bolt. Halo makes this, literally, it's like palm-sized charger that has a 3-prong outlet so you can run your computer, you could run your tea kettle. You know, it's amazing how it will power so many things. So it has a 3-prong outlet, 2 USBs, it has a flashlight, and it also has a jumper cable. So it's such a fantastic tool to have in the house, in the car, so that you have some power when the power goes out. Now, it's not going to, you know, help you feed a whole dozen people, but it'll get you through the moments when you're waiting for the power to come back on. So definitely check those out. Now, we talk about power overload. Well, what about guest overload? When you have more people in your house than you really wanted to or need to or can handle, who's sleeping where, that can all be very overwhelming. And do you have enough linens and pillows and blankets and who's staying where and all of that. So this is a little bit of my designer mind chiming in here instead of just my contractor mind. But plan ahead. Who's going to be sleeping where? Sort out the linens. Put the linens in the bedroom. I like to leave the towels in the bedroom for each person so that they know these are your towels for while you're staying here. So I leave, you know, the bath towel, the hand towel, the washcloth on the bed. Here's your stuff. You've sorted all of that out. I like leaving in the bedroom, making sure that there's a box of tissues on the nightstand, a water bottle, a coaster, if you don't want them to be leaving the water bottle on the dresser, a phone charger, leave a little snack. It just little things that make the guest more comfortable so they're not raiding your cabinet, looking for stuff. Just makes it a little easier that the basic essentials are right there in the room for them. Now, if you have a no-shoe house, it can be a little overwhelming when the door opens and now there's 30 shoes on the floor, right? Because you've got all these people and people are tripping and maybe you've got elderly people in the house. We've got pets and they're carrying off with shoes, all of that. You can buy an inexpensive pop-up shoe rack and you set it by the door. And one, it's a way to keep the shoes neat, organized, not all over the place. And it clearly communicates to people, we're a no-shoe house. So you put the little sign, please leave your shoes here. And everybody knows what to do. It's about planning ahead. And I know you're like, I have so many other things to do. Simple little things you can do to make it all move more evenly. Space management. Do you have folding chairs? Do you have folding tables? You know, are you prepared? Where are you sitting all these people for a dinner? Are you doing a banquet? Are you doing a buffet? Take moments to think about all this stuff the week out so you're not overwhelmed. Water shortages. Remind people, okay, we've got 12 people in this house. Who's showering at night? Who's showering in the morning? Don't try to do laundry when it's shower time and everybody's getting prepped in the morning because you're going to run out of water. Again, it's about communicating what you need with your people. Night lights. Make sure you have night lights in your hallways and in your bathrooms and your powder rooms so people can find their way so they're not opening doors to people's bedrooms and doors they don't want to open. That's important. And I'm all about adding motion sensing lights. So that's great, especially if you have elderly guests. Motion sensing lights are fantastic because it will light the way for people if they get up and they start to mill around in the dark and they have a sense of where to go. So that's always a great thing. And I've got some of those on my wish list as well, because to me, safety is a gift. And if you can help people be safer in their place, I'm all for that. So we're going to pause for a minute because as much as we are blessed by having family, food, and friends all gathering for the holidays, there are people in our backyard that are facing some real hardships. So I want to hear from Laurel House, which is our domestic violence partner in Montgomery County. Since 1980, Laurel House has been a lifeline for domestic violence survivors in Montgomery County, offering a safe shelter, a 24/7 hotline, trauma counseling, relationship education for teens, court accompaniment, and medical advocacy. But there's more work to do. Together, we can end domestic violence and help families rebuild their lives, whether it's volunteering at their thrift shops, assisting with childcare, or becoming a text line responder. Your time can make a real impact. With training and support, you can become an advocate for survivors in our community. To learn more about volunteering, donating, or simply offering your support, visit laurelhouse.org or call 610-277-1860. Every action counts. Together, we can make a difference. Here's a word from our sponsor, The Showerhead Store. Replacing your showerhead is a very DIY doable project. And I'm glad I added this rain shower head to my morning routine. Crafted with premium chrome, this rain shower head not only adds a touch of elegance to your bathroom, but it delivers durability and a stunning shine. I love the hammerhead dual shower with a 72-inch hose. It is perfect for washing you, the dog, and the shower itself. It comes in a variety of colors and styles, so check them out at theshowerheadstore.com. So I want to talk a little about the water woes again when we have extra people in our house. So what do you do with some of these hot water issues? Because you've got all these people trying to shower and, you know, normally you're a 4-person house and now you are an 8 or 9-person house and you only have 40 gallons of hot water. So be mindful of that. There is settings on the hot water heater that you can adjust to turn down that water heater a little bit so that you're not running as hot water and maybe it'll last a little bit longer. And also, don't mean to shoo your guests out of the shower, but if the water's a little bit colder, they may not be in there quite as long. So that's always a good mechanism. Just turn it down 2 degrees. Again, it doesn't have to be scalding. If you have young kids and seniors coming to stay as well, always turn that down so there's no scald issues. But okay, let's head outside for some weather issues. When we have holidays in the winter, we face a different set of issues by getting people in and out of our house, to and from the driveway. So I love making sure that you have some salt on hand. Now, I'm not a big fan of salt per se because I don't like it eating up the cement. I don't want it on my pet's paws, and I don't want it being tracked into the house and damaging my hardwood floors. So if you are a salt fan, make sure that you are buying an appropriate salt for your house, for your lifestyle. Okay, there are some salts out there that will help break up the ice, but will not be as caustic or damaging or harmful. So look for those, but get them now, have them on hand. We don't know what, you know, Christmas week might bring. And then lighting to prevent falls. Again, wearing my nurse's hat. I was director of nursing at a retirement home, so I'm very fall focused because it is such a deadly situation for seniors. And even when we're younger, none of us need to be out of commission for 6 weeks because we had a fall and we can't work because we've busted a shoulder or an ankle or a knee or something. So lighting your entryways is a really great way to prepare for these holiday guests and avoid the slips and falls at the door. You can get easy-to-install screw-in light adapters. These are generally $15 or less, and they have a motion sensor, or they have a dawn-to-dusk, what we call photocell sensor, inside this adapter. So you take out your light bulb that's already there, and you screw in the adapter, and then you put your bulb into the adapter. And now you leave the front porch light on all the time and the adapter will control the light. So if it's motion sensing, as soon as people approach, it'll turn it on. It just makes the pathways a little bit safer. Again, solar stick lights always help. It lets people see where there might be black ice versus, you know, they can't see it in the dark. If you have that front door that you always send people to, but it's really icy outside, then you open up the garage. Not a bad idea to have one of the more commercial style rugs that you can buy at one of the home centers that have like the rubber backing and then the, not felt, but you know, the carpet fuzz so that it's a nice easy walk off of the driveway and transition into the garage and cut through that way. Think about how do people come and go safely so that you don't have falls, so that it is well lit, so that they are safe. Frozen pipes, that can happen in these deep, cold days of winter. The last thing you want is to have frozen pipes when you've got a house full of people, because who's going to bathe? How are you going to feed them? And what are you going to do when you got to turn off the whole water and maybe you got a leak and it can be an absolute disaster. So be very aware. If you are facing a lot of really cold temps, check those crawl spaces, check those basement ceilings if you are prone to having problems. And never let your house go below 55 degrees. That's kind of the safe zone to avoid frozen pipes. So that's an important tip, especially like if you are going away and then you're coming back to your house, you want to be sure that the house hasn't dropped to below 55 while you were gone and now you walk in. Here's a tip. Every time you go away on vacation, even if it's overnight, the water gets turned off. The water main in my house gets turned off anytime we go on vacation. Now, caveat is if you have radiators, if you have radiant heat and you need the water flowing for the heat to work, you can't turn off the water, okay? But if you don't use the water for your heating system, say you have gas or oil forced hot air, you can turn off the water safely and go away. And then you don't have to come back to frozen pipes and disasters, okay? That's a deeper conversation for another day. But you don't need this ruining your holiday. Again, with those power outages, do you have flashlights on hand? Those are nice to have around. Extra blankets, the snacks, the water bottles. I'm not a big fan of buying water bottles because of the waste, but I do like having at least like a 24-pack available. So if there is an issue, say you have a power outage and you have a well and you have the electric powered pump that feeds your well water, now you don't have enough water. All of these little things. It's just being prepared for what ifs, especially at the holidays when you might have guests. Now, we need to chat a little bit about the space heaters. We've got extra bodies. We might have guests staying in rooms that, you know, maybe it's a guest room that doesn't really have good heat. And we think, oh, well, we'll put a space heater in. Space heaters may work great at keeping you cozy, but they pose risks. They pose risks in terms of creating a fire, falling over, overloading a circuit. So first thing is, make sure that any space heater, I don't care what the size of the space heater is, should be on a flat surface. It cannot be on a flammable surface. So never on a carpet, never on, really not on wood. It should be on, you know, like a sturdy, ideally metal surface. You know, put a cookie sheet, if you've got a small one, put a cookie sheet under it. You don't want that space heater to fall over. Many of them do have an anti-tip feature so that if it tips, it will automatically shut off. Those are awesome, so check those out. But the bigger problem comes from people trying to use extension cords, and people will plug an extension cord onto their space heater. It is not designed for that. The amount of power draw that a space heater uses it's huge. It needs to be plugged directly into the wall outlet for safety and for just peace of mind. And never go to bed with that space heater on. A lot of people will do that, but that creates a dangerous situation. Never leave it unattended, okay? And the same spills over to fireplaces. Who doesn't love chestnuts roasting by the fire, right? It's just this kind of idyllic scene and thought we have about the holidays. Is everybody around a fire and the tray of cookies for Santa and all that? Well, fire safety around a fireplace is really important. If you have not used your fireplace in a long time, or maybe you do use it regularly, you do need to get the chimney cleaned. You need the chimney cleaned. You need it inspected to make sure that the liner is intact, to make sure that the cap is on so that you don't have critters in the fireplace when you turn it on. And you want to make sure that your flue is functioning properly. Now, I tell you a very funny story. I have a friend. She is just adorable. But she told me the story about when she was first with her husband. And she decided she was going to set a fire and have this nice, you know, holiday romantic scene. And she got kindling and she got a fire log and she lit it and she didn't know about the flu. So that romantic scene turned into a major panic when she had to pour water on it. The place was filled with smoke. They had to open all the windows. Take time. If you are a new homeowner, take time to understand, how do I start a fire safely in my fireplace? Where is my flue handle? Did I open it? When was this chimney inspected? Do I have creosote built up? Creosote is like a thick crud residue that's stuck inside the well of that fireplace chimney. And it can catch on fire, and now you have a fire in the chimney, not a fire at the base of the chimney with just the smoke going up. So take a few minutes, Google that kind of stuff. If you have a gas fireplace, make sure that you are reading the manual. How do you start that gas fireplace if you've not used it for months? Make sure you know where the shutoff valves are. Do you have a gas tester? You know, that you can buy small devices that will you can hold in front of devices and it'll tell you if there's a gas leak and it'll test for any small leaks. Be very smart. During the holiday season in the winter is when we have the most house fires because we are dealing with all of these potential hazards, things that are trying to keep us warm, to create ambiance in our space, and the holiday decorations as well. So make sure that, again, you have working smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. Very, very important. Now, another thing about fireplaces, for wood-burning fireplaces, do not throw wrapping paper into the fire. People will be, you know, oh, I'll just throw that, it's paper. No, that paper has chemicals and dyes in all of the color print. So nothing should go in that fireplace except standard black and white newspaper, kindling, designated fire logs that you can buy, and actual wood that is seasoned and ready for the fireplace. Be very careful. You keep kids and pets away from the fireplace. Make sure you have the screen up. And also be sure that you are keeping anything that is potentially flammable at least 3 feet away from the fireplace at all times. Again, you know, I think it was last year or the year before, there was a family in the Philadelphia region that lost I think the two kids and one of the spouses died in a house fire on Christmas. No one should experience this kind of tragedy at the holidays. You need to be vigilant and you need to just take the extra steps. And lastly, you never ever go to bed or leave the house with an active fire brewing in a fireplace. All it takes is one ember to snap, crackle, and pop out of the fireplace and hit the carpet or something else. And you have a whole house fire. Make sure it is out before you go to bed. Now, I know I sound like such a Debbie Downer over the holidays, but it's just about, we want your holidays to be happy and jolly and not faced with any traumatic issues. So when you are rocking around that Christmas tree, what are the things you need to do about being safe around your tree? Well, again, make sure that that tree is at least 3 feet from the fireplace, okay? Especially if it's a real tree. Next, water that tree. You cannot let that tree dry out. You have to be sure that you are watering your tree every day. And be sure that you are not leaving it plugged in when you are not home. I know it's pretty, oh, I'll leave the tree on while we go out. It looks pretty from the front window. No. Unplug the tree. You don't need anything happening while you are out of the house or while you are sleeping, okay? So definitely unplug it. Then caution with candles. We've talked a little bit about Christmas. My family celebrates both. We do Hanukkah and Christmas. And Hanukkah, we're lighting those candles every night. When you light those menorahs, make sure that you have the menorah on a flat, stable surface. Is it on a cookie sheet? Or is it on, say, a plastic cutting board? Is there plenty of clearance around so that nothing's going to get in the way if the candelabra, the menorah, falls over and now you've got candles, you know, hitting the surface? Plan ahead, be safe. I prefer not to leave the room when our menorah is lit, and I will blow it out if I'm going to go upstairs or we're going to go out. Be safe with all of those candles. I do have to tell you, I love on Amazon these water-activated votive candles that I bought. We used them for my son's wedding last year, and they are awesome. They are little tea lights, and you drop them into like a glass of water, and poop, they just pop on, and they flicker. They are fantastic, and they'll be on my list of goodies for the holidays as well. They're wonderful. They last for hours, and you just drop them in water. So super easy to use. The other thing about the holiday decorations is watch those extension cords. One, you don't want to overload. Two, make sure they're not frayed, nicked, all of that. Make sure if they're outdoor, outdoor rated, indoor rated. And make sure you're not creating tripping hazards. Again, we don't need ER visits because you took a tumble because you tripped over the Christmas tree lights. Make sure that they are secured, tucked under. Really, you should use gaffing tape or painter's tape. Do not run extension cords under rugs, okay? That's a bad idea. It creates a fire hazard. Let's see. Check the Christmas tree lights before you plug them in. Make sure there's no frays and there's no issues with those. And I have to tell you a funny story. Last year, my son was home by himself. My husband and I went out. And he calls me. He's like, "Mom, there's a really weird odor in the house. It's a heat smell. I think you should come home." So we're a few minutes away. We come home. And yes, there was a burning heat smell somewhere in my house. And we walked around and we could not figure out where the odor was coming from. So I said to my husband, "I am not going to bed until we figure out what this odor is," because it was definitely a burning smell. I was feeling the walls. I was checking light out or sockets. I was checking plugs. All around the house it was in one area, like in our living room, but I couldn't quite figure out what it was. So I called the fire department. And if you call the fire department because you smell something, well, they do not arrive quietly. Okay. And I said to them, "There's no major issue at the moment. I don't need bells and sirens," but we got two trucks with bells and sirens rolling down the street at midnight. And as the fireman jumped off the truck, he comes running up my front lawn with an axe drawn in his hands. And I met him at the front door going, "No, stop. You're not like poking holes in my walls yet." I said to him, "Let's calm down. We're just going to walk around and we're going to see what's going on." They have a heat meter that they can bring and that can use to identify if there is a wire burning up on a wall. So they also had that tool because I said, "You're not chopping holes in my walls the week before Christmas," okay? What had happened was I plugged in one of those old ceramic Christmas trees, you know, that with the little tiny glass lights. And I had plugged it in earlier that afternoon, and I didn't realize that I had had bubble wrap up in the hollow of the tree when I had stored it. So the bubble wrap was melting to the light bulb. So that was the burning odor. So it wasn't like a fire that was glooming. It was melted plastic that was hitting the LED bulb. So again, I learned how to be more aware of my holiday decorations and how I'm placing them and using them, and be prepared for them to come gung-ho with axes drawn when you call the fire department for any unknown odors in the walls. I want to talk about some kid safety. Again, nothing would ruin your holiday more than spending it in the emergency room because one of your children got hurt. So as you are dealing with all of the holiday hubbub and the fun, remember choking hazards. You know, you've got older kids getting older kid gifts and you've got little kids in the house. Make sure that you're keeping track of where all those little pieces and you're packaging things up and putting things away so that the little ones aren't putting things in their mouth. Again, fire safety. Make sure you're not leaving matches or lighters out for kids to play with because you had lit candles and you left the power trigger lighter out. Falls. I'm a huge, huge fan of helmets, okay? If you are buying your kid a bike, a scooter, skateboards, all of these things, make sure that you are buying them a helmet to go with it. And I tell you this as someone who was 10 years old, fell off her bike. In 1981, we weren't wearing helmets. Fell off, hit my head, had a fractured skull, concussion, amnesia, and spent a week in the hospital. So be very brain safe with your children and make sure that you are getting them in helmets and they are wearing them properly because it's so important. Watch out for those button batteries. and magnets, because those are very toxic to children as well. And again, do you know the number for poison control? Yes, we all have our cell phones, but I'm just going to tell you anyway, just as you can hear it. You can call Poison Control 24/7. It's a hotline. There is someone there to answer you. And the number is 1-800-222-1222. Very important. And then we move to our next beloved creatures in the house, our pets. We think the holidays are great and we're going to pose our puppy by the tree and, you know, take these great photos. Animals can get just as hurt at the holidays as kids. So you need to be careful. Foods. What foods can they not get a hold of? Berries, poinsettias, holly, mistletoe, grapes, and raisins are highly toxic to dogs. So make sure that they're not getting into the raisinettes, because chocolate is right up there on the toxic list. Garlic and candy with xylitol. It's an artificial sweetener, and it is very toxic to dogs. So make sure that any of the sugar-free candies, gums, things like that, that are in the stocking, make sure they're not out for the dogs to get to. And of course, bones. You have to be careful with bones. The animal poison control, there's a special dedicated line for just that that you can look up and call if you have an issue. Tree safety. Make sure that that tree is anchored, because your kitty is going to try to climb up it and you don't need the whole tree and the cat going flying. Do not put any chemical additives in your Christmas tree water, because a dog or a cat might try to drink the water from the base of the Christmas tree. Make sure that your pet has an ID tag, because over the holidays, you have guests that don't know that your dog's a runner and they leave the door open. So make sure that you are, you know, they're microchipped, or you've got a Wi-Fi tag on them that you can track where they are. All of those things to keep them safe. And trash. Make sure that trash is getting taken from the kitchen right to the outdoor can, and that the outdoor can is secure. There are so many pets that end up with pancreatitis because they get into the trash at the holidays and they're eating spoiled, rotten food that isn't good for them. And then you end up in the ER. Again, we all know what the ER visit is for a pet. You could be talking $2,000, $3,000 because they got into the trash and they needed emergency services. Take the moment to put the bag where it belongs for safety. And you don't want to have some unexpected expenses over the holidays when you have to replace your guest's belongings because your dog ate them. So we had a guest at our house one time and our puppy ate the AirPod. So we had to replace the AirPods for our guests because I wasn't going to not. Make sure that you're asking guests to keep the guest bedroom doors shut and not to leave their belongings laying around, because your dog might get into things and they don't realize you got a puppy or a young dog and things are interesting and they're new. So everybody has to take some responsibility. Then we've got spills and stains. What do you do when your Aunt Joni spills Merlot on your new rugs? Well, I know you want to strangle her, but you don't need to. Couple things. When you do have that red wine spill or any spill on the carpet, you're going to blot, blot, blot. You can use cool water on a clean rag, not a colored rag, a white rag. Get it up. But beyond that and some club soda, invest in a Bissell little green machine. It is my absolute favorite thing for every home to have. I've used mine so many times throughout the years. It's on my wish list. The little green machine is great. It's a mini extractor. You can use it on carpets, furniture, the car, worth having. It's like $100. I'm telling you, it's sanity saver, okay? Capture. There is a stain remover called Capture. Capture is a carpet care company. They have the best products in the industry, and they have one product in particular called the Spot Eliminator. It's in a can, you spray it onto the stain, and then you use the Bissell to extract. I'm telling you, it has gotten out food, pet stuff, blood, you name it, it works beautifully. So great investment to have. And then what do you do if you've got wax drips from candles that are stuck to furniture? Couple different techniques. One is you can put ice cubes on, freeze that wax, and then you can scrape it off. Another technique is if you have wax, you put a cardboard or paper bag, like brown paper bag on it, and then a warm iron on the brown paper, and it will create like a heat transfer. and the wax will pull off of the surface and then go to the paper. There's tons of hacks and tricks out there, but I wanted to share this list with you today so that you'll hear it now, and maybe when, pardon the proverbial poo hits the fan with the family time, you're prepared and you don't have to panic. You don't have to get stressed out. You can go, I got this. I have a clue on what I need to do to get the holiday festivities back on track and not ruin it like a Grinch when something goes bad. So thanks again. Hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll see you in the new year with some more content. So remember that doing it yourself never means doing it alone. And I'm here to help.